Let us together now take out our Bibles and read God's Word in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. We are focused this morning on the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Reading God's Word in Matthew chapter 6, at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, or open, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One familiar verse yet in the Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We look for the comfort of God's Word this morning in Lord's Day 9, page 7 in the back of the Psalter. Catechism is going through the 12 articles on page 6 there of the Apostles' Creed, as the Apostles' Creed is a summary of the Bible, of the Christian faith, of what we must believe with all our hearts. So in question 26, we start those articles with Article 1. What do you believe when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel in providence, is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn to my advantage. For He is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you believe when you say on a given Sunday evening and throughout the whole week, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth? What is it that you believe? What are we saying? We are not saying simply, there is a God. The devil knows that. All men know that. We are not saying just the creation speaks of intelligent design. That's true. But we're not saying just that. Nor are we simply saying God is great. We're not just saying that either. We're saying God is my Father, and I rely upon Him entirely. For He is able to help me, being Almighty God, and He's willing to help me because He's my faithful Father for Jesus' sake. It means when we say that by faith, by true faith, not just words, not when our mind and heart is far off somewhere else, but when there's true faith, we're saying, I turn to God with my whole life, and I trust in Him. Do you and I, are you this morning doing that? And is this your sweet and perfect comfort this morning? As you bear a burden, as you come from a difficult situation? Are you and I doing this when we have been abandoned? When our hearts have been broken? When we face difficulties that we say, it's not going to change. Nothing can change this. Do you and I make this confession when sin is pressing down upon us, or the consequences of our sinful deeds are now evident to us? Do we say, and do we draw from it the comfort, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I rely upon my Father entirely. The Hindu believes in many gods. He brings his fears to one God. He brings his need for food to another God. He brings his family issues to yet another God. And then he finds out that all of these gods that he's bringing his different needs to are at war with each other. They're all fighting each other, and he can only despair. The Muslim comes to a cold God, dwelling far off someplace in his own harem of lust. But by grace alone, you and I this morning come to the true God, who is our Father for the sake of Jesus, who is the Creator of everything, who upholds everything, who is all-powerful, and for the sake of Christ is my God and my Father. And that means that we will then turn to Him in complete reliance. The ninth Lord's Day of the Catechism is one of the richest that we're going to find in the Catechism. And in the ninth Lord's Day of the Catechism, it bears a number of readings today. You can read that answer again and again. What you'll find the Catechism is doing is piling up, putting up on top of each other, and getting it all in one sentence. One sentence, you've got there stupendous truths. You have there in that sentence the truth that God is the eternal Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is the creator of all things, that God, by His providence, is at this moment upholding the whole creation according to His own counsel or eternal thoughts. We have there in that statement the truth of adoption and redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have all of those stupendous truths, those swelling great truths. It's as if the sentence is going to burst apart. There's so much in that sentence. And then added to it is that we confess that this God is my Father for the sake of Jesus Christ, and He's going to care for me. Whenever I come to this Lord's Day or I think of the word Father with respect to God, I remember that as a boy, when we would argue, we'd always, who was better? Well, it always come down to our fathers. My father's stronger than yours. That was very important to us as sons, our father. Our God is greater. Our Father is greater than all. And then on top of that, the Catechism in that beautiful sentence gives to us a world and life view. Now, that's something that as young people, college age, high school age, we all should be confronted with this idea of world and life view. That's your view of what the world is. Everybody has a view of what this present life is, and it's the view of what your part or place is in this world. And the Catechism gives to us the biblical and reform worldview of how you should conceive of the world and how you should conceive this morning of your place in the world when it says that we live in this valley of tears. And in the valley of tears, that's what this world is. It's a valley of tears. In this valley of tears, my world and life view is my heavenly Father is leading me on my pilgrimage and caring for me and holding me by His hands so that I, in everything, turn to Him and I trust Him to care for me. Let's consider this morning, for the remaining moments, confessing my Father in the valley of tears. Let's see that this confession is inspiring. Let's see, secondly, that it is spoken with a calm assurance. And finally, that it leaves us with a very high and serious calling. The first thing that we want to gain a sense of is that when we say, not just on Sunday night, but throughout the week, that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that statement is inspiring. It inspires us. It keeps us going in this life. The Catechism presents the world in which we live, which we have contact this morning all around us. We're in this present life. It says this present life comes down to this. It is a valley of tears. And the Catechism really, probably the authors are framing this particular answer after they read Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. That's what it means to say, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God is with me as my Father in the valley of tears. A valley, as you know, is between two mountain ranges. There is on the left of this world the mountain range of creation with its peaks of paradise and Eden. We have fallen off that mountain range into death, but grace has found us and we are in the valley, and in the distance is the other mountain range, Mount Glory, Mount Heaven, or Mount Pisgah, where Moses was brought up to see the land of Canaan and all the promises of God. We are now going through that valley of tears. Enoch walked that valley Moses walked that valley. David walked that valley. There's all kinds of people who have walked this valley out in front of you. It's important to know the steps that they took if you're going to make it through the valley. And we are following behind us, and our children are behind us yet in this valley of tears. So that there are in this life many dangers and toils and griefs. This world has no abiding place. It has no place of peace. It has no place of protection. If all you have is this valley of tears, you have death. That's all you have. You have suffering and enmity and hatred and despair. And it's passing away and it has no life. But as we go through, as we as children of God go through the valley, we look up. As Noah and Abraham went through the valley, they looked up by faith. And Psalm 34 says, they looked unto him, and their faces were lightened, and they were not ashamed. They endured, because they had set their face upon him. And this is what we're doing in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. We are looking up in the valley. We are receiving strength to march forward. We are looking up this morning as a young couple in our marriage. We are looking up as an aged saint, a widow. We are looking up as a young person. We are looking up, whoever we are, crushed of heart, we're looking up. And no matter our place in the valley, we are inspired. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The Creator is my Father, who controls all things in my life, and who is able to do me good, and is willing to do me all good. This faith is inspiring us. This is the faith this morning that inspires the martyrs, and there are martyrs for the Christian faith this morning who may on this day die because they confess the name of Jesus Christ. This is what inspired the persecuted church throughout the ages. This is what inspired all the saints of God before us. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, as I walk the valley of tears. Now this morning, by God's grace, you're on that, right? You and I? That's it. That's the world and life view. And this is so inspiring. Now we come to that stupendous sentence. Because of everything that we confess about God, our inspiration is the truth of God. Note a few of the particulars here. He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that God's being a Father unto us is not something that He learned. It is not something we became a Father. We try to learn what it is to be a Father, especially through all of our mistakes. But fatherhood belongs to, get the thought, fatherhood belongs to the being of God. He did not become a father. He is eternally the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. From all eternity, He is of the Father who begets, gives forth life, but He is the Father who loves and provides and directs and prepares a home. He did not become a father when He created Adam, His son. He did not become a father when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. It was not something that God became. It is something that God is. I believe in God, the Father, the perfect Father from all eternity. And therefore, the perfect Father, Matthew, the word perfect Father are Jesus' words. Matthew 5:45. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. He's our perfect Father. But even more, our Father is Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Belonging to the truth of God, my Father, to whom I belong in Jesus Christ, we confess that He is the Creator. And it's the truth of creation that simply awes us and humbles us and makes us adore and makes us bow down before God, the Creator. The Catechism says, who of nothing made heaven and earth and all that is in them, referring to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. What was there? Children, what was there before God created? There was nothing except God. And God always is and was. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the solar system, the stars, and the whole world with all of its marvels. He spoke, and it came into being. As He had thought from all eternity within His own counsel, so God, having designed all things in His perfect mind, leading to the day of Jesus, God spoke and brought it to pass. We read in Psalm 33, verse 9, He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. There it was. Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. The whole Scripture is filled with the truth that with God's own voice, He made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and He rested upon the seventh day. And the Catechism goes on and says the wonder is even greater. He's still the God who by His providence, that's His plan, and by His power is upholding the world that He has made. He holds it right now in every issue, in every particular in His hand. So that we sang the creation, God's creation, the world is singing and it's shouting this morning of His power, wisdom, majesty, truth, and beauty. Just two aspects to consider to show that. His creation, because He is God, is a vast creation. God doesn't create small. He creates the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day. He creates the solar system and the universe. If I had a marble for the earth, and then 3 feet halfway to the communion table, I had a third of the marble, I'd have the earth and the moon. And then 30 feet from the earth, if we had a basketball, that would be the sun. And then if we want the first star, we need one of those helium balloons, because our sun is a little star. And we have to bring that helium balloon or that beach ball to China in relation to the marble, to the basketball, a beach ball in China. That's the first star. That's the closest. And then from there, it goes on and on and on. And our minds spin, trying to compute the distance. And to God, it is nothing. For the prophet says, he calls them all by name. The psalmist says, he brings out their light at night. They shine because He says so. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, nor groweth weary. And then He creates intricate, in vast wisdom and minutely. We sing in Psalter 139, each mountain bird is known to me, whatever roams the earth is mine. True. And then you take your microscope with the, what is it, the glass slide, and we add in that Psalter, we could add a stanza, and whatever squiggles and wiggles down in that glass slide, that microscope, is mine. I see it, and I give it life. The amoeba, the single cell, mitosis, division of cell, genome, different genomes, chromosome, DNA. My God has done all these things, woven in mystery to sing His praise. He's my God. And if that's not enough, Eternal Father, Creator, here's something that's even greater. I said, go back and read this Lord's Day a few times today. When you go back to read it, note the parentheses. Everything I've been saying about the Catechism put in parentheses, about the creation, they put that right in Providence. They put that in parentheses. When you put something in parentheses, you say, oh yeah, this is a subsidiary thought. This is a sideline, but it's not really the main thought. The Catechism says, here's something even greater than that. This eternal God and Father is my Father for the sake of Jesus. As breathtaking as is the creation, even more breathtaking and farther and greater is that He has redeemed me, a lost sinner, in the blood of Jesus, and has made me heir of His glory. The hymn that is popular, How Great Thou Art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hand hath made. That stanza, right? Then comes the next, another stanza. But when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. When on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died, then sings my soul, How great Thou art. This inspires us now in the valley of tears. By faith, by a true and living faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in my heart, uniting me to Christ, I believe that the sovereign Creator, the eternal Father, and the gracious Savior, He is mine forever and ever. Psalm 48, He will be my guide even unto death. And so our world and life view of a Christian is that he's going through the valley toward Mount Glory with his head up, trusting in his Father God. I love Psalm 3, verses 1 through 3, and I think that's going to capture the meaning here. Psalm 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. Verse 5, I will lay me down and sleep, for the Lord sustains me. That's what the first article of the Apostles' Creed means. That's what it means. The eternal God and Father and Creator is my God, upon whom I rely entirely in the valley of tears. And it brings a sweet and calm assurance. And the assurance then, as the Catechism reasons its way along through Scripture, the assurance is that the Catechism says, now if we get this from Scripture, then we also may conclude with Scripture that everything that happens in my life is conducive. That's a good word to know. Conducive to lead me to the mountain. To the mountain of glory. And to what is beyond it. The city of God. I therefore have the calm assurance, if God is my Father, that everything in my life is God's leading me unto the mountain of glory in Jesus Christ. And I have the assurance that God will give me everything that I need to get there. And so the Catechism is so beautiful. It says, on whom I rely so entirely, I have no doubt, but that He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body, and further, that whatever evil He sends me in this valley of tears will turn out to my advantage. For He is willing to do this, being a faithful Father. He's able to do this, being Almighty God. We need to ask ourselves this morning, are we living, are you and I living with this calm assurance? Our life, I was speaking with the brethren this morning, a brother, and we confess together, this, we are getting so busy and busy in this life. We need to pause. This is why we come to church. We need to hear God's word. Are we living practically with this calm assurance? Are we showing this as a father and mother to our children? Is this calm assurance in our marriages helping us continue in our marriage? Is this calm assurance with you as a student facing whatever you have in the future? Is this with you as an aged saint? Is this with you? Do you possess this calm assurance? This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought. He leadeth me. By His own hand, He leadeth me. God will take care of me. He will give me everything that is necessary. That doesn't mean, of course, that God will give us, and Jesus' words in Matthew 6 don't mean that we don't go out and work hard. Some of us have to work 14 hours a day. It doesn't mean that we don't have to work diligently. It doesn't mean that God will give us everything that we need. God's not guaranteeing. He's not guaranteeing that you have work tomorrow. He's not saying that you won't suffer adversity. He's not saying, like the perversion of a tele-evangelist or whatever says, well, you have faith in God and you get the best parking place at the shopping mall. That's a perversion. He's not saying that death won't come. He's not saying that disappointments won't happen. It's saying that whatever I receive today and tomorrow is necessary for me. That's what it's saying. Whatever God gives me is necessary. He's Father, Creator, not me. I do not dictate to the Lord. The one who has created the cell in His wisdom, I do not teach him wisdom. The one who knows the location of every star in the galaxy, I do not instruct him as to the best way to arrange my life through the valley. I don't do that. But my awesome assurance is that my Father will lead me in the necessary way, and that He will give me on that necessary path what I need and whatever evil He sends me, it will come to my advantage. And I know that. He's able to do that because He's Almighty God. He's willing to do that because He's my faithful Father. That's the assurance. And then if I could be so bold as to suggest, this is too bold, I wanted to suggest that a word could have been added in that beautiful confession. He will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul today. Today. Tomorrow, if I come to tomorrow, He'll provide me then what I need. He's not going to give me what I need for tomorrow, today. And that's part of what it means to confess my Father in the valley of tears. It means every day the Lord is with me. Every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. It means He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what He deems best, lovingly. It's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. And this is what Jesus was talking about when He uses the word Father in Matthew 6. He's talking about our tendency as His children to get ahead. Every child gets ahead of their father. We get ahead of God. What will become of my children? Will I have grace to do that tomorrow? What is the doctor's report going to say on Tuesday? Will I be able to continue under these stresses? What about tomorrow? But it belongs to the calm assurance that trusts in God our Father to say, He will give me strength for today, not for tomorrow. And tomorrow, He'll give me grace for tomorrow. God's grace, which gives you strength for your Christian walk, is not stockpiled. He does not give you today what you will need then, but He measures out what you need today. Jesus said, think about the birds. Your heavenly Father takes care of them. Behold the fowls of the air. They do not sow. They don't have a tractor and a planter. They do not reap. They don't have a harvester. They don't gather into barns. They don't have their seeds all in a pile. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now, how does your heavenly Father feed them? Well, in a few weeks from now, when the snow blows and everything's frozen hard and it's snowing, you're going to see the birds very hungry, and they're going to be given seed from your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father is going to feed them day after day after day. Is he giving to the birds? Does he give to birds a pile of seed for the whole year? No, he does not do that. They don't have a barn. He gives it to them as they need it. So listen. Lamentation 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new each morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Manna was given daily. We live on God by the day. If we don't live on God by the day, we don't live on God. This is very important. We come to the end of our strength. We say, Lord, if you add one more thing, I can't take that. We come to the end of the day, we fall on the bed exhausted, and suddenly we breathe a sigh that we made it through the day, and then all the worries of tomorrow, and we want the answer for tomorrow, today. And God says, no. This is your confession of faith. My Heavenly Father gives me day by day what I need. And this faith in God the Father is what evaporates our worries and anxieties. It is our calling to believe this. And therefore, by believing this, it is our calling to glorify God in the valley of tears. This is our faith. This is what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. It means to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty is my Father for Jesus' sake, able and willing to care for me and to give me all things necessary in this valley of tears. When we practice that and when we testify of that, we glorify God. To glorify God is to represent Him truly. That's simply what it means. When you glorify God, your actions are simply giving an accurate reflection, a dim reflection, but an accurate reflection of who God is. You glorify God when you say something true about Him or when you live in such a way that reflects the truth about Him. Faith glorifies God because faith depends upon God and His promises, and therefore faith glorifies God the Father. We glorify God when we trust in Him for strength today for our child, for our marriage, for our endurance. When we are confronted by the thing that's going to crush our hope, we glorify God by trusting Him today that He will care for me. And so I urge you to take up this confession. To take up this confession not just on Sunday night, but to take this confession with you throughout the week as we walk through the valley and fight. Fight anxiety. And fight unbelief with this confession. When you are anxious, that you say, I'm too weak. When you question the wisdom of God. When you say, I'm sick. When you say, I'm getting old. When you say, I am abandoned. When you say that I have no more resources to continue. When everything seems vain and you seem that now you have reached your end. I urge you, take up the shield of faith. I urge you and me, take to your hand of faith your confession. God is my Father for the sake of Jesus Christ. And He will give me all things necessary. And He will avert all evil or turn it to my profit. He can do this. He is Almighty God. He will do this. He is my Father. And then, as we go through the valley, the clouds are parted, and the sun of His grace shines on us. Amen. Father in heaven, the truth of thy word is ever more than can be said. The ability to bring the word to the heart is ever beyond the ability of any human man or instrument. But thy spirit knows no limitations. Take the truth. It's thy truth. Take the truth that thou art God the Creator and our Father. Take it and put it into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.